I'm Lynn Townsend. You're listening to Rich Answers. Our topic today is habits. So the obvious question is, what is a habit? Why do we form habits as human beings? So we brought in somebody from the University of Connecticut Health Center, psychologist Damien Grasso is here. So Dr. Grasso, let's start right off the bat with this question. What is a habit?
Well, a habit is a sequence of behaviors that have become strongly associated with cues in the context within which they occur. And so when a sequence of behaviors become a habit, they're actually taking outside of the realm of our consciousness. So we do them automatically. I think of them as being the consequence of our brain's autopilot system.
Why is it we form them? Is there a reason going back to our ancestral days when we were first here as hunter-gatherers that we form these habits?
Well, if you think about it, habit actually makes efficient use of our attentional resources. For example, the first time that we ever drove from our house to our workplace, we have to spend a lot of time looking at the map or listening to our GPS, looking at the clock to make sure we're getting there on time. We're spending a lot of our resources towards making sure we get there on time, make sure we find our way. Over time, however, the more and more we drive that route, the less we have to do that. Pretty soon, we're driving that route pretty automatically, and we're able to focus our attention on other things, hopefully not texting, but other things. What are we doing after work? What are we doing that day?
Listening to the radio or...
Exactly. And so forming habits can be a good thing in that they make more efficient use of our resources and free up some of our effort.
So habits are, they could be good or they could be bad. Some of the good habits that we form very early on might be what?
Putting on a seatbelt when you get into a car, brushing our teeth in the morning. So they can be related to health, safety, social habits.
What about bad habits? They form in the same way, but what makes them bad to begin with?
Right. So bad habits can develop in the same way, but they are linked to our desires that are unhealthy or that may be inappropriate for the situation. They form easily, and what makes them hard to break is that they are oftentimes outside of our realm of consciousness, and so can kind of sneak up on us.
Fingernail biting is one of my worst habits. I say I don't drink, I don't smoke, but I do bite my fingernails. It's not so bad, but it is kind of an ugly habit. Mm. How would you recommend getting rid of a habit like that, where I unconsciously, we've been referring a lot to our habits in the car, I unconsciously will chew my fingernails in the car. It's about the only place I do it. As an example, what's the best way for somebody to start undoing some of those bad habits?
Well, the first thing that you have to do is really identify what it is, and you have. So that's a start. The second thing is you have to break up the monotony a little bit. So like I said before, habits are strongly associated with contextual cues. Contextual cues, like the car, like a radio show that you're listening to in the car, can trigger the behavior. What you want to do maybe is break up the context, change the context. And what that's going to do is it's going to force you to pay more attention to your behavior within that context.
So how would I break up the context of driving?
that's more difficult. If you think about it, you can do something while you're driving to remind you that you bite your nails. And to remind you that one of your goals this year is to reduce your nail biting in the car. So maybe that means a post-it note on the dashboard. Maybe that means a particular song you play in the morning.
What's the difference between a habit and an addiction? Because I would say that to me that is an addiction that I have to biting my nails, but it really is simply just a bad habit. It's not something chemically in my body that I need to do. Is that part of what an addiction is as opposed to a habit?
They're very closely related. Mm-hmm. And addictions are reinforced by our reward system. Let me tell you briefly about a pretty famous scientific study done with monkeys. This study had monkeys learn to associate a light with a button press with the delivery of juice. And every time they got the juice, it was a reward for them. The scientists observed that early on, when the monkeys started to learn to push the button after the light and were given the juice, that areas of their brain associated with reward, emotion, and motivation would light up. They would become activated. Over time, as the monkeys learned those associations and it essentially became a habit, the scientists observed that those areas in the brain that were associated with reward would light up when the light came on, so much earlier. That, in effect, would help to spur the cascade of the behavior. So the light comes on and the monkeys have this the reward system responding, they're going to be more inclined to continue the behavior.
It's almost as though the reward is the light now rather than the juice itself, or the whole process has been backed up to the light.
Mm-hmm.
It shifts. So when it comes to addiction, how does that tie in?
With addiction, let's say alcohol addiction.
Smoking.
Smoking. You know, your reward system is reinforcing the habit every time you do it.
Okay.
The other thing to add is that even without the motivation, the habit has become such a pattern that's maybe even non-conscious that we're inclined to do it even if we're not, you know, particularly driven to smoke or drink at the time. So to go back to that study, a similar study found that when they had monkeys who were satiated, they had already eaten a big meal, maybe they didn't want juice, they still showed those behaviors towards getting the juice.
And they still would drink the juice?
Yeah.
Which for some people, that's what leads to overeating.
For me, it's if I have ice cream in the house, it's right before I go to bed, I feel inclined to eat ice cream. But now it's I go past the freezer and, yeah, it's very easy to continue the behavior even if you're not particularly driven to.
Is it harder to break a habit the older you get?
To rephrase that, it's harder to break a habit the longer you have a habit.
Okay.
I'll give you an analogy. So let's say that we're sledding down a hill and we're the first person to sled down this hill. And so initially the sled is going to cut through the snow and it's going to take some effort to really make the first track. So when you're going down the hill for the first time, you have many options. You can go left, you can go right, you can do squiggles through the snow. The more and more we go down that track, the more rigid it becomes. So we're moving faster, it's more efficient, it's more fun, but we have less options. Now if we decide we want to deviate from that track, it's going to take even more effort now to jump that track,
right,
and to create a new track, an alternative track. It requires even more resources to break a habit. And if you can imagine, the longer you go down the track, the more slick it becomes, the more rigid it becomes, it's going to be even harder to make a new one.
And going back to good habits, practice makes perfect. If you're a musician, if you are an artist,
mm-hmm.
if you practice something, driving over and over again, going back to the driving visual, the more you do it, the better you get. And
mm-hmm.
that's what practice makes perfect means. So you're getting this habit of knowing what the key of C sounds like and what the key of C is on the piano and the key of C sharp and E and et cetera, et cetera. How do people, if you can't simply break a habit, and I'm talking more about emotional habits of that cycle of maybe always dating guys that are not good for you or girls that are not good for you, can professional help be of assistance?
Absolutely. Again, going back to the context, professionals would first recommend changing the context or removing yourself from the context. If you look at addiction, one of the biggest contributors to relapse is when individuals who are addicted go back to hang with friends who they've been using with or places where they've been using. And so professionals would try to encourage a change of context. The other thing that professionals would do is try to build the personal resources of that person. It takes a lot of effort to change a habit, to jump that track. Resources help. So when I say resources, I mean social support. So if you're trying to exercise more, finding someone to exercise with, or eliciting support from your family.
Family or friends who don't mm-hmm. say, hey, you look great the way you are, but you know you feel inside that you really need to get in shape.
Right. And the other thing, too, I'll add is that studies have shown that individuals who are chronically stressed have a harder time breaking habits. If you think about it, when we're stressed out, when we're distracted, we're more likely to kind of slip into bad habits. And so just taking a look at your psychological health, your well-being, and maybe adding some additional behaviors such as relaxation, deep breathing, relaxation helps to form better habits and to break bad ones.
Dr. Damian Grosso is a clinical psychologist doing his postdoctoral fellowship in the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Connecticut Health Center in Farmington.